I know who I am. Now, I am, in case you didn't know, John Weigel, married to my beautiful wife, Kim Weigel, 28 going on 29 years. We have 5 wonderful kids, 3 beautiful daughters, 2 handsome young men. I'm a pastor, and I'm a sales consultant. Now, if we were to ask one another who you are, who are you? Many of us would respond with what I just said. Well, this is who I am. It's my first name, my last name. I'm this. A beautiful song. Again, we read the first line. I know who I am. Because, what did he write? Because I know who you are. If we were to ask ourselves this morning a serious question, do I know who I am or think that I am because of the world that I'm in? Or do I honestly know this morning who I am because I know who made me and put me together? Do I spend more time focusing on who the world says that I am or the one, the Father, who tells me, who's made me, my maker, who I am? One of the third favorite lines in this song is, because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. If we were to think about a grave this morning, now some of us, we could choose, you know, maybe we'll get a nice big grave, right? And get a couple American flags because we're all American. Woo! Maybe some of us this morning, we want to be a little more creative. Got a little heart shape in there, right? And for, of course, those spiritual people, we've got to have a cross on our grave. When at a very young age, some of us this morning, someone or something robbed you of purity, a grave appeared. The moment you did something wrong and you knew in your head, I did something wrong, a grave appeared. When many continue to choose to do bad things, sinful actions, knowing fully it is wrong, what? A grave appears. Until, unfortunately, some of us, this is what our spiritual life looks like. We have more than one grave. All of us were born, maybe in different situations. We all had different parents, we know. I think, right? Just kidding. When our thought life becomes louder than the voice of God, a grave appears. When our emotional life becomes louder than the voice of reason and truth, God, a grave appears. And so if we were to spiritually this morning ask ourselves, how many graves do I have? And, come on, because we all have our MVP and our faves, which is my favorite grave? Which is my favorite grave? I mean, maybe it's the one, this is it, it's got a hardship, it's my favorite grave, this is where I long to be every single day. But I think every one of us this morning has a grave that we've been attending, a grave that we have allowed, whether it's from a very young age or recently, a grave to appear. And we just stand there. Some people, when you go to the gravesite, obviously you're there to honor, remember the person who's passed. For us, and many of us, spiritually, this is what we do. We just stand there spiritually dumbfounded like a deer in headlights, stuck at a grave. So, may the 4th be with you all. Today is May 4th. This is what brings us to the birth of our new theme, which is, I am made for more. Tell yourself this morning, I am made for more. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. We're Where does more begin? Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1, and it says this. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we can't see. Through faith, people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we can't see. Through faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And so this morning, as our new theme begins, we know that life is about beginnings. There are new situations. There are new friendships. There are new jobs. There's new opportunities. Life is about beginnings, about new chances, about new days, right? This beginning is the very most important beginning. And why? Because it says if you have faith in God, you believe God created the world. Which states, if we believe in God and He's our creator, I did not come from a monkey. I did not come from two worlds, planets colliding. I didn't come from evolution, things just evolving over time. And slime, yes, slime comes out of our nose once in a while. Yes, we play with slime, but I didn't come from slime. And I don't know this morning if any one of us would like to admit that we came from any one of those things. I am created. You are created. We are created. The beginning this morning, the beginning, understanding I'm made for more, starts with having faith in God. He is the beginning and the end. God is the beginning and the end. God is the beginning, and the beginning is He created us. Our second verse this morning is Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Our first verse, knowing that I'm made for more, starts in the beginning. The beginning is God is my creator. And it takes faith to believe that God is the creator. That all He did was speak. And everything that we see as He spoke, it was created. Secondly, understanding this morning, I'm made in the image of God. I'm made in the image. What is the image? It is in a reflection to resemble, to bear His name. Every single day, 24/7, I am made in my Creator's image. If we were to be honest, life, there's so many voices that want to tell us, no, that's not your image. God's not your image. This is what your image is. This is what your image is. Your image is your parents. Yeah, they had a small part in us being here, right? Parents had a small part. Might have been a fun part, but they had a small part in us being here. And yes, most of us this morning, we do look like mom or dad or somebody. There's somebody we look like. We know it. We know it. Somebody. But see, the devil, the world, the culture tells us every single day, you're not made in His image. You're made in this image. This is the image you need to live by. And it's evident. Listen to how people talk about life, How much time is spent about my name and my title? How much time is spent about what I've done and accomplished in my life? How much time is spent about how much money is in my bank account, what I drive, the people that I've been with? How much time is spent? It's all what? Image, 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 image. Because it's been shoved down our throats. The devil, the world, and the culture, they want you to be stuck on the image that we see. But we need to tell ourselves, I am truly made for more than what I see. It's beautiful because today is the 4th, and as we know, if you're a Star Wars fan, it's we say, may the 4th be with you. But the first Sunday of the month we know is Communion Sunday. It's special because it's the 4th. Also means it's a 3-hour sermon, right? Hallelujah. Buckle up. Just kidding. That was my intro this morning. So we're going to go to our beginning text, which is Luke chapter 20, starting in verse 20. And this is my main text for this morning. Luke 20, 20. So it says, watching for the opportunity, the leaders sent spies, pretending to be honest men. How many of us know these people? They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know that you speak and teach what is right. You are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. They were trying to butter Jesus up. Not that any of us have ever done that, or it's been done to us. Now tell us, they said, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus saw through their trickery and said, show me a Roman coin. Whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. They failed to trap him about what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer, and they became silent. And so our main text this morning, we understand with just this short conversation that Jesus had, people came to trap Jesus. And so they tried to ask him a tricky question. Before they asked a tricky question, they tried to butter him up with real butter. Not margarine, not butter blend. They wanted real butter, because we know it slides down way better, right? Real butter. Do we pay taxes to Caesar? Jesus said, give to people, give to this guy what is his. But make sure, number one, punch your neighbor's arm, say, number one, give him a little punch. Go ahead and give to Caesar what Caesar's, but make sure you give to God what belongs to God. Our first text this morning, we understood that by believing in God, we understand he's the creator. And in understanding he's the creator, number two, it said that he didn't only create it, but he made us in his image. And Jesus in this text, so taking Genesis 1, relating it to this text that we just read here, Jesus said we were made in the image of God. And if we're made in the image of God, what does that statement mean? It means I belong to God. When I wake up in the morning, I belong to God. When I live my day, I belong to God. Before I go to bed, to remind myself, I belong to God. I am made in his image. I am made in his image. I am made in his image. And if we were to just look this morning, not around, not in the things that we have, not in the people that we know, but if we were to take a look within and ask ourselves, is there any area and aspect of my life, in my faith, in my believing, in my image, that maybe God is saying, I made you for more. As our stomachs have learned that we like to eat, some of us sometimes, and we ain't judging because we all like to eat, we continue to eat. And we know that our bodies become what? What we feed it. Your image this morning and the outcome of your image is what you're feeding into your image this morning. And have we been feeding ourselves with things that state, that remind, that teach us? And we are, all of us, the 8 billion people on this planet, made in the image of God. This morning I want to look at two guys real quick. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 26. Fortunately, this is a sad story. Turn to your neighbor and say, yep, it's a sad story. It's kind of horrific. But Matthew 26, 14 says this. Judas, one of the 12 disciples, he went to the leading priests and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus was condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. He took 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. He says, I have sinned, he declared. I have betrayed an innocent man. What do we care? They retorted. That's your problem. Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple, and he went out and he hung himself. This morning, as we're thinking, we're picturing, we're hearing, we're trying to hear this new theme that we're made for more, understanding faith and creator and created and image and all these words that we've talked about, and to set a picture in our head of what it looks like. We first contestant is Judas, lovely, nice young man. He had a problem with money, and he had a problem with greed. He was stingy. Stinginess, greediness, being selfish. If I don't control that within me, if I don't control the greed, money, and being stingy, if I don't control it, what does it lead to? It leads to betraying someone. And unfortunately for this guy, he didn't just betray someone. He betrayed the Son of God. But let's be honest this morning. Sometimes we betray the Son of God as well because we're greedy. Sometimes in our own greediness and being stingy, we also betray the Son of God. This man, unfortunately, stingy, money hungry. We knew that he was a thief. But no matter what dark things lurk around, we have to learn to control, and we have to learn to push the darkness away. This was something this man did not do. This is something that this man did not do. And unfortunately, what did it end with? He killed himself because he couldn't get a grip on his feelings, because he couldn't get a grip on his thoughts. Judas was made for more, but he caved in the things, dark things that were inside of him that he couldn't get a control of. Then let's flip the coin, because how many of us know the sun comes out tomorrow? Acts chapter 5, starting verse 12. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. All the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. No one else, they were afraid to join them because all the people had such high regard for them. Verse 14, yet more and more people believed. More and more people believed. They were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men, women. And as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. And crowds came from villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick, possessed by the evil spirits, and they all were healed. And so this morning, we take a look in the story, in the telling of two guys, one man who allowed what? His greediness, his selfishness, lead to betrayal, and then the betrayal led to death. He could not get out of himself. He could not get away from what? He couldn't get away from all the graves. He could not. Jesus said he is the light of the world. He's the revelation of the world. Jesus is the revelation, the illumination of what truth is, who God is. And Judas could not get away from this. Maybe as a young kid, he was poor. Maybe he didn't have much. People who have poor beginnings usually end up becoming more stingy and greedy, and I'm going to hold on like there's no tomorrow. And then when we flipped the coin, we saw a story of a man, Peter. We had God so much inside of his heart, mind, and soul. He had God. He had Jesus. He had the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He had the Trinity. He had it all. So much inside of him that where he walked, what did it do? It radiated and brought life to everyone around him. Understand the difference between two men right here. One caved into the graves. The other guy, Peter, he accepted, he understood, he believed, and he said, God, I want more. Everywhere the dude walked, it says that his shadow, the shadow, healed the sick people. So there was so much revelation, there was so much truth, there was so much Holy Ghost flowing through him that it brought life to every single person that was around him. And if we were to ask ourselves this morning, there's a Bible verse in Proverbs that says the tongue brings death or life. We see the story of two men, Judas and Peter. Death and life. Have I words with my words, with my actions? Which one am I bringing? Romans 3:23. It says, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the past. And so this morning, communion means to remember. And so the first thing and the first word that Paul was talking to the Romans about was sacrifice. Many of us in here this morning, when we were very young, we were learned, when you make a mistake, what do? You correct it. If you're in school and you have a nice teacher, if you made a mistake, they allowed you to fix it. If you had a naughty teacher, they just said you fail. Just kidding. But somewhere along the line, as people, as humans, how many of us have learned and thought in our head, if I screw up, I just got to make it right. I just got to make it better. But what many of us don't see and realize is that when it comes to sin, we can never make sin right. You never, ever will make sin right. You can never, ever, ever make sin right. It's wrong. And there's nothing you personally can do to atone for the sins that you've committed. Some of us in here this morning, there is a short list. Maybe there's a long list of wrongs that we have committed. If you were to take the Word of God and you were to read through the Old Testament, New Testament, stating fear is a sin against God, fearing people more than you fear God, it's a sin, jealousy, insecurity, sin. If we were to understand, many of us, when we think of sin, we think of, I'm going to go out and kill somebody. Which none of us have ever thought that. Just when we're driving and someone's just going really slow in front of us. The only time I drive fast, right, Josh, is what, when we're on our way to church. Get out of our way. We're headed to church. Many of us this morning, we like to think and see other people's sins, forgetting, blinding us to maybe sin that we have within ourselves. And the more you read the Word of God, it's not to walk out of here and to beat ourselves over the head and, I am such a sinner, I'm a loser, I'm this, I'm that. That's not what God wants you to hear. But God needs you to hear this morning, we're all sinners. But you need to understand there is a sacrifice that was given so that your sins can be washed away. And it's nothing you do. It's nothing that you do. You cannot pay for your sins. There's not enough money in the world that can help someone get to heaven because they're a billionaire. They could share a little more, right? But you can't pay your way to heaven. And many of us this morning, we get stuck on making sacrifices because sometimes we get into a perfect complex thinking, I just need to be more perfect. I just need to be more right. And that's not where God wants us to dwell in our headspace. He wants us to dwell on He's perfect and He gave His perfect Son so that I could be made perfect when I believe, because He sacrificed so that I don't have to. He gave the sacrifice for His Son so that I don't have to. God is my sacrifice. But in reminding ourselves, there will always be a consequence to sin. Yes, God paid for my sins, but if I do wrong, it will come back to bite me in a bad place. We don't want to go there. I am only made right, I'm only made perfect when I learn to perfectly trust in the one who gives me life, and that is Jesus Christ. Life is such a breath. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. Many people who have found success, who found how to continue in success, understand life is about working hard. Life is about getting knocked down, but learning to get back up again. Life is about, no matter how many times I have been hit and punched, I will continue to get up and keep on fighting until it's over. Many great athletes, the percentage of people who make it to become a professional athlete, that is such a small percentage. And some of the ones who've gone and made it to that plateau, made it to that point, they state, listen, I'm not here because I had 100% natural ability and talent. Yes, I did have some. But I was committed to not resting until it's over. The process. If you Google Kobe Bryant, just his process and how he approached the game every single day. He said, I'm not going to rest until it's over. Yes, we need rest. Yes, we need sleep. But I'm pretty sure this morning that many of us can get stuck here instead of where God needs us to be. God made every one of us for more. And to understand that, we're going to close with one more verse. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Luke chapter 15. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. His belongings. A few days later, his son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. This verse, the parable of the lost son, stating, and it is true every single day, if you live a wild, selfish, self-gratifying life, it will end empty. Jesus goes on, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land. He began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding, the pigs looked so good to him, but no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. Because for some reason, many of us, we don't get the picture until we hit the bottom. The bottom of the pit was where this man began to look up. Verse 16, 18, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. He returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him. He kissed him. He said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Kill the cow, the calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast, for the son of mine was dead, and now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And the party began. Our Creator, our God, our Savior, Jesus. To understand this morning and understanding how he made me, he made you, he made us to be more. God is patient. The story in the parable of the lost son states how patient the Heavenly Father is, because it says that he waited every single day for what? His son to return. God is patient. He has patience flowing through his veins. God cares more about us than he does how he looks. In the picture where Jesus was describing this father, it says the father ran. Hebrew men don't run. Hebrew men do not run. We know that today, many of us, we run for exercise because we're trying to get this gut in shape. Hebrew men do not run. Why? Because it looks silly and undignified. So when Jesus said that the Father ran to his Son, he was stating, our Heavenly Father does not care about how he looks. He cares about you. He cares about me. God is patient. God does not care about how he looks within himself, because he cares more about his children than how he looks. Thirdly, God covers our sins and our bad decisions and actions that we make. God covers our wrongful doing. When the son said, God, Dad, forgive me, what did he do? What did the father do? The first thing he did is he put a robe on his son. The son was working in pig slop. His son was stinky. A picture of all of our sin. Sometimes we don't see how gross and disgusting sin is. The man who had to work in a pig farm. It's stinky to be around poop and yuck. They play in the mud, they get dirty, all those things. The picture that Jesus was painting, it's gross. It is just like our sin. To understand every single day, my sin is what needed, what caused God to send a Savior. My sin is gross and disgusting. But thank God, he had a covered plan. He covers me. God covers me. And notice, the Father didn't say, go wash up. You need to get clean before I do anything nice for you. This is where many Christians fail. They say, you need to do this, this, and this. Then you'll be accepted. What did the Heavenly Father do? He covered first his son, and he didn't require anything of him. God covers us, and he does not beat us up for the wrong choices, thank God, that we have made. We like to beat each other up for the choices that we make. God does not. And lastly, God empowers us. God is patient. God's not concerned within himself how he looks. He's more concerned about us. God covers us, and God empowers us. He turned to the son. He gave him a ring instantly. Here's the authority you get from being my son. Here's the authority and power that you get because you are my son. And then he gave him sandals. Sandals, at this time, the only people who wore sandals and flip-flops, we know most of us, we all have shoes, but in this day, the only people who had sandals were sons and daughters of a person who had money, right? When he gave him his sandals, he says, you are not a slave. You are my son. You are not an outsider. You are on the inside. I love you. You are my son. And lastly, we see how much he loves us because he says, go get the finest robe. And who do the finest robe belong to? Belong to him. Because he says, my best, it's not for me. My best, man, it's for you. My best. Do you see God this morning? Do you understand this morning how easy all of us, I showed that video about being unbroken. And in the beginning, it talks about in the video how many people, and we all go through challenging stuff at different times. But sometimes when we go through challenging stuff, let's be honest, those challenging situations become what? They become our grave. And we lose sight of who God is. And we lose sight of all that he has for us. God is patient. God loves me. God cares about me. God wants to empower me. God made me for more. God made you for more this morning. Can you honestly say, maybe I have been hanging out in the grave just a little too long? Because, yeah, God, he's made me for more. Ephesians 2:10, we're God's masterpiece. And I want you to remind yourself every single day, you are God's masterpiece. He created us new in Christ Jesus. We can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Ephesians 1:4, even before he made the world, God loved us. He chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. And since we're his children, Romans 8:17, we are his heirs. We are his heirs. My last verse, I promise. Colossians 3:12, because we are his heirs, because we are adopted into his family. What does that look like? Colossians 3:12, God chose you to be a holy people that he loves. So you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, sometimes as we're thinking, God made me for more, that means I just need to go out and be more successful. No. Maybe God made me for more to be more merciful, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, clothe yourself with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Oh, but Paul goes on, gets even better. Make room, allowance for each other's faults. Is there people who bother you? Make room for their faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, God forgave you. You must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love because it binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. And so this morning, we're going to do one more thing, I promise, and then we will absolutely be dismissed. I'm going to have the lights turned off again, sorry. And as we turn off the lights, I'm going to play a song. This song is our new theme. Don't know how long we'll be here. Could be days, could be weeks, could be years. Just kidding. But it'll be a little bit. Our new theme is what? I am made for more. If you know this morning that God's made you for more and you're living with less and settling for less because you're so stuck on what you see, then during the song, just simply stand. And while we hear the song, you can read the words, you can sing along. But if you stand, then you're saying by standing, God, I've been here too long. And I know you've made me for more. The choice this morning is super amazing. Every one of us, we get the opportunity God gives us every single day to make the choice, to remind ourselves, to remember every single waking moment, I am made for more. And then let's go live the more that He's made us for.